This is a Discovery Health podcast. Get the latest health news and tips on living well at discoveryhealth.com.
The emergency room at the George Washington University Hospital is the second smallest in Washington, D.C., but it is also the second busiest. Most of the hands-on care in the ER is provided by residents, doctors who are in their first 4 years of practice.
Bend your arm a little bit towards me.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
At teaching facilities like George Washington University, the training of residents and medical students in the ER goes hand in hand with patient care. But the learning goes both ways.
Soft tissues of the neck. The residents are constantly coming up with this idea and that idea. They just read the most recent journal about why don't we do this therapy and what do you think about that? And so they bring the challenges as well as our challenging them.
Attending physician Till Jolly.
We tell residents and students if they think that doing this job is all excitement and gunshot wounds and saving lives every few minutes, it's not. We do a little bit of that, but a lot of it is getting used to the routine of what you do and being able to work night shifts, and it's not easy.
A weekend night brings a lot of problems peculiar to weekend nights. As the night wears on, more and more people will have alcohol-related problems.
Surgical resident Bill Barrett.
They found him in his car. He's completely drunk. His blood alcohol level is 0.296. He doesn't have any signs of any injuries, but because of his mental status, we just have to make certain that there's nothing going on. And now we're just going to scan his head and scan his belly to make sure he doesn't have any injuries that we don't recognize.
Dr. Anthony McIntyre is the attending physician on this evening.
Why don't you let those two parties connect and stay out of the loop and get them to admit the patient, since the patient has been here almost 12 hours?
Fridays are always busy shifts, and when you come in midstream, it's always kind of a catch-up game. One thing that's against us is that it's been a very busy week, not only in the city but in surrounding regions, so all the hospitals are full. Things are kind of tight, and it'll take a little jiggling to get beds for people.
Upstairs, a surgical team visits patient David Inoue, who has been diagnosed with spinal injuries caused by a parasailing accident. Their visit follows the first of two operations.
Can't let you move around too much because it's not stable until we do the second stage.
Many patients like David Inoue first enter through the ER and then are admitted to other wards in the hospital.
That'll take
about 5 hours for that one, too.
Patients from all walks of life are treated in this ER. Every day brings new challenges.
He went to a Chinese herbal physician.
Attending physician Till Jolly.
We have a pretty well-defined process for how patients are dealt with in our emergency department, and it really works based on the space we have. Patients can either walk in off the street.
My name's Jim. I'm a nurse. I need to ask you a few questions, get things going so the doctor can see you.
And at that point, they see a triage nurse state their problem, and then the triage nurse decides whether they need to be brought immediately back into the emergency department for care or whether they could register and be seen in turn. The other group of patients come in by ambulance, and they come straight back in the emergency department, and the patients are dealt with depending on the severity of illness and what they need.
Attending physician Jeff Smith.
She's coming in now. She's a woman from a nursing home facility who comes on in with an acute change in mental status. The feeling is that she's probably had a stroke, and we need to go to get her back in an area and kind of do some assessment to figure out what's going on.
Charge nurse Monique Farah.
We put an IV in, put on the monitor, see what her heart rhythm is doing, check her vital signs, put a Foley catheter in to see if she has a urinary tract infection. That's a quick change of mental status thing, too.
I'm going to check this vision.
Come on in, doctors. Come on in, brothers.
For the homeless on the street, the ER is often their only access to medical care.
Can we uncover your legs and just take a look and see what's been going on with them?
Huh?
Where do you live these days?
I live in the street.
You're living on the street. Okay. This is a gentleman who probably spends a good deal of his day walking around. So his feet are a little irritated from that. And he clearly has what looks like a pretty significant injury a year ago when he was struck by a car, and he has a deformed, swollen leg there. Do you wear socks with those shoes?
Yeah.
You do? You have the socks? By putting him into some dry, comfortable shoes and socks will probably help a lot of his problems. If we can get him maybe to a shelter at night for the next couple of days where he can get his feet up and elevated so he's not walking around all the time, it'll probably help a lot too. But certainly the homeless people can't walk in any doctor's office and be seen. They would be escorted out very quickly. And so literally you could have this happen here and in 10 minutes later a senator roll in from the Hill.
It's a very unique place to practice. Sitting five blocks from the White House.
House, and 5 blocks from the State Department, and 10 blocks or 15 blocks from the Capitol. It's a fascinating mix of patients.
On March 30th, 1981, an assassination attempt on President Ronald Reagan put the George Washington University Hospital ER in the national spotlight. Dr. Robert Schesser is chair of emergency medicine.
We received a call that the presidential motorcade would be here in a minute. We had heard that there had been a shooting at the Hilton. Presidential limousine pulled up, and about halfway to the treatment area here, the president kind of swooned and was carried into the back by his security staff and by emergency department staff. These rooms were actually filled at the time with at least 30 people, mostly security. At the same time, of course, in this room, Mr. Brady, the press secretary, who was also shot, came in. So we had our anesthesiologists and our neurosurgeons working on him, while we had our thoracic and general surgeons working on the president. We went through the normal resuscitation protocol and determined that he had an injury that required surgical intervention, and he was taken to the operating room.
In Washington, D.C., the George Washington University Hospital ER is always on the go. During a typical shift, physicians and nurses may each walk over 10 miles. Trauma technologist James Marinucci.
We're called trauma technologists, and we're responsible for wound management, burns, some of the minor orthopedic things. I guess you can say we're sort of the body and fender guys here in the ER. I wouldn't even close that much sometimes.
I don't see anything.
The program started towards the close of the end of the Vietnam War. There was a lot of ex-military corpsmen who wanted to continue their skills, doing some wound repair and some things that they did in the military. And slowly over the years, our responsibilities increased a bit. What we'll do is with our fingers, we'll just kind of push the wound together a bit. We'll assist faculty members here, and we teach the medical students. And it's also required of the emergency medicine residents. It's required of the primary care residents.
I was just working on a construction site, tripped and grabbed for something to brace my fall, and a piece of sheet metal was what I grabbed, and it's lipped. One side is barbed, and that's about it. Just looked down, saw my hand open.
When we have a patient, we do the exam, we do the anesthesia, we do the repair, we're able to develop a good rapport with our patient. And you kind of get to know them a little bit better. It's pretty rewarding.
Rewarding not just for the trauma technicians, but all of the nurses and doctors saving lives every day at the George Washington Hospital ER.
Every day there's something new. Every day there's something that you learn, and it's a constant challenge. And I think that people who stay a long time in emergency medicine feel like what they do really does make a difference.